Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Built Ford Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Tuesday morning. Couple of Monday night games last night. One of them certainly affecting the draft order. So Giants fans paying attention to that as the Vegas Raiders are horrendous. They are really, really bad. They're just as bad as the Giants, if not worse. They had Desmond Ridder playing quarterback last night. It was ugly. It was horrible to watch. So that's going to be, if you want the number one overall pick, that's the team that you're going to be battling for, as we've been saying now for weeks. And you got a good up-close look last night. And the Minnesota Vikings continue to win. What can you say? This is a underdog team. No one expected much out of them. I thought they'd maybe have a winning record, but not be this good. And here we are. So it was another win. Fun to watch. The Bears are a mess. They got a lot of work to do in the offseason. They got to find the right coach for that quarterback. But hey, it's football, man. And we got Thursday football. We got Saturday football. We got Sunday football. It's just unfortunate that we don't have any local teams involved in anything interesting. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. I'm doing well. And here's the thing about the Giants and the Raiders right now. If you go to Tankathon, you'll see that the Raiders have the number one pick. But if you go to NFL.com, you'll see that the Giants have the first pick.
Oh, well, what's going on with that?
Well, basically what's going to be, if they're tied at the end of the season with the same record, it'll be a strength of schedule as the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
And if they have the same strength of schedule, then you have to go down to head-to-head if applicable. Best one loss tied percentage in common games, minimum of four of those.
Well, they're not going to have the same strength of schedule.
All right, so here's the deal. But right now, the Giants have a weaker strength of schedule, which means that they have a higher draft pick. Okay? Even though Tankathon has it wrong, according to NFL.com, it is the Giants have number one and the Raiders have number two. And, you know, that's the based on the strength of schedule, with the Giants are at 541 and the Raiders are at 571.
Yeah. And this is all these years that we have been wanting one of these two teams to get the number one overall pick. It just, this year is a really interesting one because it's not like Shador Sanders is across the board looked at as one of those guys like an Andrew Luck when he was coming out, or a Peyton Manning. And we've seen some of these guys, even a Trevor Lawrence when he was coming out. You know, everybody had him unanimously as the number one overall pick and a can't-miss type of guy. It doesn't feel like Shador's that guy. And also, you got to deal with the Deion side of it. So it's like all these years that you would have loved
for either the Jets or Giants to get the number one pick to get that guy. Even last year with Caleb Williams. Now it's a question mark as the Giants are fighting for it. But, man, if they end up with a number one pick and Shador's clearly that guy, I think he does come to the Giants. I mean, he's throwing the ball around with Malik Nabers. His brother, Deion Jr., was talking about how they're, you know, people don't know what they're talking about when Shador's not going to go to New York. So I do think that if the Giants beat out the Raiders for the number one overall pick, that Shador Sanders will be a Giant.
All right, well, here's what I think. I actually do think that if the Raiders get the number one pick, Shador's going there.
Oh, yeah,
it doesn't matter who's ranked higher, who's banked lower. It's really that is going to be a fit for the Raiders 100% of the time. I believe that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Tom Telesco will believe that, but I do believe
he's their GM, right?
Right. Mark Davis will believe that.
Oh,
Mark Davis is going to want to have, like, he's going to want to have the show in town. And it wouldn't even surprise me if Mark Davis offered the job to Deion Sanders and fire Antonio Pierce. That would not surprise me at all because, you know, it's showtime. They want showtime in Vegas. They want to get fans in that building and they want to basically take it up another notch. And it just fits. It just, when you see it, it fits. For the Giants, I mean, you know, obviously Cam Ward, his name has been bandied around. You know, depending on what you're looking at right now, and I don't think I don't even have an answer at this point. I could, my answer would be Shador to the Raiders, number one, no matter what. No matter who's ranked higher, I just see that as that would be the case.
Well, Shador will be ranked higher.
I don't know that. You don't know that. Nah. And here's the thing. I've looked at three different draft sites. Just kind of look, you know, and those guys, and these guys, you know, they do this for a living. They look at these guys over and over and over again. They know the strengths. They know the weaknesses. They may not know the person, but they do know all the other things that NFL teams are looking for, from arm strength, the size, the quickness of release, all those different, you know, things that you can look at and measure. To me, Jalen Milroe from Alabama is still in the middle of all this thing. You don't hear a lot of him, you know, in the mainstream media. You know, you hear that, you know, he may be a late first round pick. But again, we have seen this time and again that the combine, the meetings, all of the things that go into trying to determine whether or not a guy is a fit for you, we still have to go through that entire process before we can really decide who is the guy that's going to be our guy, if in fact it is the Giants, or if it is somehow, you know, maybe the Jaguars, who knows? But we're a long way from really knowing who and solidifying who number one is.
Well, we're really not that long of a way away from it. I mean, we got three games left.
That's a long way.
I mean, is it
a lot of football to be played?
Yeah, but I mean, when we're talking about the beginning of the season to where we are now and how bad these teams are, I mean, it's tough to project a victory for any of these teams. Now, the Raiders do have the Jaguars this week.
Big game.
I mean, for the Giants, yeah, it's huge. And, you know, there was a sign last night as I was, you know, watching both of the games in a, you know, side-by-side, two box. And I see a Raiders fan, you know, that says just tank baby, of course, on the old just win baby deal and wanting them to tank. And I'm sure that, you know, Mark Davis is thinking the same things that you were thinking and wants the same things that we were just talking about with Shador Sanders. So I would not be surprised if, you know, this Desmond Ridder situation is just what we're going to see for the rest of the year because he can't play. I mean,
you know,
it's...
And the thing about it is the strength of schedule changes week to week.
Yeah.
You never know. So the Raiders, you know, they have Jacksonville, not a great team. So their strength of schedule is basically going to come down.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have New Orleans, not a great team. And then you have, of course, the LA Chargers, who could be fighting for a playoff spot at that moment. So that could actually ramp up their strength of schedule a little bit. You know what I mean?
And the Giants, they have the Falcons and, of course, the Eagles, the last game of the year. And what is in between there?
So their strength of
schedule. The Rams, right?
Right. So think about their strength of schedule. It's going to go up.
It is. Yeah, they need Jacksonville. They need the Raiders to beat Jacksonville.
They need to have a worse record than the Raiders.
Yeah. Because
I would venture to say that, obviously, the Raiders' strength of schedule will go down and the Giants' strength of schedule will go up.
Do you have the numbers right now and how close they are on Tankathon with strength of schedule?
It's not Tankathon. It's the NFL.
No. I'm telling you, the Tankathon also has the strength of schedule right
there,
though.
They do, but they have it wrong. according to the right here.
They have the numbers wrong or their ranking wrong?
Right. So the Giants' strength of schedule is 541.
Okay.
Okay. The Raiders' strength of schedule is 571.
Yes, you would
right
think
now,
that
though. Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Yeah.
Now, when you go to Tankathon, they still have the Raiders number one by virtue of their loss last night. And I think they're wrong at the moment, but I don't know if they're claiming that the Raiders have a weaker strength of weaker strength of schedule going forward. I don't know if that's factored into this.
Well, one thing I can almost say for certain is that the New York Giants will select a quarterback in this draft, and we'll have another one of these guys to dissect and see if they turn into something. And we've seen many of them come here through the years, in both franchises.
Here's the thing.
We got another one.
Here's the thing I got for you. So you remember when the Panthers traded for that number one pick, and everybody just assumed because the owner wanted Bryce Young that it was Bryce Young. Mm-hmm. Now, I can say this because I do believe this was out there. I think there was conversations within the Carolina building about who would you want, C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young, and I think it was a little bit split. I'm not going to sit here and say that it was totally split, but I do think that anytime you're making the first overall pick, you know, there's going to be strong opinions about, you know, different players. And, of course, if the owner wants a certain player, sometimes that is going to be pushing people towards that player just because they want to save their jobs, you know what I mean? Because they don't want to be wrong. And I do remember a conversation that I did have with my buddy Frank, who was the head coach at the time. He goes, you know, I would take either one of these players, Boomer. They're both really good people, good players, and I think they both can win in this league. He goes, I kind of feel like I just want the number two pick because I want that first pick out of the way to be made by somebody else, and then the number two guy will come to us and we can win with the number two guy.
Yeah, so
if you're the Giants.
Yeah, he felt pretty strongly about both those guys.
Right, so if you're the Giants, maybe you want the second pick and let the Raiders make the first pick, and then the second guy comes to you, it's a slam dunk. That's the guy you're taking. And there's no politics around it. There's no who's the better player around that pick. It's just he's there. That's the guy you're taking. He's unquestionably the next best quarterback, and that's who we want.
Yeah, I also think, though, that it's a unique situation if a head coach, an offensive head coach, likes both of the guys equally. I mean, with as much tape as these guys watch, opinions that they have, I guarantee that Brian Daboll is going to have a stronger opinion or like one of those guys more than the other one. Now, he might say, hey, I like this guy better, but I think I could still win with this guy, too. But he's gonna want one of the two more. You know, and I think that you still want the opportunity to pick the guy that you want.
Well, the other thing, too, is let's say the Giants end up with the number one pick. And let's say they know the Raiders want Shedeur Sanders no matter what. No matter what, they want Shedeur Sanders. And the Giants are like, well, you know, maybe you can have Shedeur if you want, but you're going to have to come up and get the number one pick. And they could trade with the number two,
yeah,
and get something in return on top of, you know, getting the quarterback that ultimately they want, maybe Cam Ward.
And well, then that is the exact opposite of the scenario you just talked about being number two and taking the pressure off and all of that. If you end up trading those picks and you go to two when you had one, and then that two guy that you traded the pick to, and that team is great with their new quarterback, and you could have had him, and you didn't, and you took the other guy, then you're effed.
I mean,
10 ways to Sunday.
Yeah, but that's the point. If you have the number one pick, you can either pick the guy that you want, or you can trade out of it, giving the team that really wants a certain guy, because that's the beauty of the draft. Like you just never know. That's the unpredictability of it, of how these teams are going to be evaluating each of these players. And you know, the one thing I will say, both Jalen Milroe and Cam Ward, I can't even believe I'm talking about Jalen this high in the draft, but both of these kids are, you know, dual threat quarterbacks. They feel like they're more dual threat quarterbacks. Shedeur can run if he wants and has run.
Yeah.
But I think he's more of like, I'm going to stay back there and I'm just going to throw it like Caleb Williams. You know what I mean? I'm just going to be in the pocket. I'm not going to be running all over the place.
Yeah, so it's Lambeau Field, and that's what I thought. I was the draft this year. So,
yeah,
so Lambeau, 2025. I'm just thinking ahead for the show, but like, there's no reason to go out to Wisconsin if the Giants have the number one overall pick. You know?
Yeah, I don't know. If we get a good weather weekend, I mean, you know, we go play a little golf out there.
You're going to get a good weather weekend in April
in Wisconsin? You never know. You might get a good, nice spring weekend.
In Wisconsin?
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe.
Yeah, believe me, we can go to Sand Valley, go play golf there.
Oh, I mean, that sounds great.
I mean, we could do a lot of different things. I mean,
but we'd have to go out there to be able to, like, if they're picking Shador, it's a number one overall pick,
might have to have
Dion and Shador on.
Might have to take the big boss, you know, with us so he can go play golf with us.
Who's the big boss these days?
Power.
Oh, okay. Yeah. For CBS Sports Network. All right. I mean, there'd be worse things than that for sure. But we would have to go out there with like a guarantee that the Giants were taking Shador. We'd have Shador on and Dion on and be worth it for us as opposed to just going out there like pigs just to play golf and sit around and do bad shows, you know?
I hear you.
That's not a bad plan B, though.
No, it's fine. It'd be good. But like, if you're gonna go out there, you got to go out there for the benefit of sitting down with those guys immediately, you know. And like, Shador's a Giant, and Deion Sanders.
Well, you don't have to worry about. You know, is there a Yankee game that night?
I always forget about that. Yeah, every year we talk about this, I forget about this.
I'm sure there is.
Remember, it's a Thursday, so there's always a chance.
It could be a getaway gay. Getaway day.
Getaway gay. Hold on. The 2025. So it's April 20. What's the date? NFL draft date is the 24th. So we'll go to the Yankee schedule. April 20.
Off.
They're off. All right.
Unless, of course, early season rainout makeup situation.
Right. But, at least on paper right now.
On paper.
Right.
I love when we're talking about on paper.
That's, yeah, why not? I mean, how many years in a row, though? I mean, we're having fun talking about it, but it's just, I feel like this is just every year we get to this point and we're talking about the draft. Where is the draft? Who are they going to pick? Are they going to get a quarterback? Both these teams. I mean, it is...
It's insufferable.
One of these teams is going to hit on one of these guys at some point again, like the Giants did with Eli Manning. At some point, it'll happen. Will it be this draft with the Giants? Who knows? I hope so, because you see what happens when you've got one of these guys, and also you got to have a team around them, and like Caleb Williams.
Unless of course you're Josh Allen.
Well, I'm talking about rookie, like a rookie
pretty
coming
much
in.
Do anything right now on the football field. The only thing I worry about him. Is sometimes he gets a little, he gets out of that pocket, and next thing you know, he takes a hit around the, the knees or something
He
did in the game against Detroit, and you just hope that, the indestructible one stays indestructible.
Yeah, and I was more referring to, the rookie quarterback in that first year, because, if you think about Caleb Williams and, what's going on right now with him, and this guy's got all the talent in the world, that offense is putrid.
The amazing thing that happened to him is exactly what you talk about with the Giants. A coach that had been there, and then they fired the coaches in the middle of the season.
Yep.
Huh.
I mean, and they kept Eberflus last year because the defense played really well the last few games, and it was you just saw it coming that they were going to end up coming out with a rookie quarterback, disappointing. Eberflus gets fired. Now you're starting all over again. You're screwing the kid up, and yeah. But then you get a situation like you get Cliff Kingsbury paired with Jaden Daniels. And Dan Quinn, who's got,
again,
head coaching.
New coach,
yeah.
New offense, everything new. And you have quality coaches, you have experienced coaches, and you have a rookie being drafted with an offense that was pretty built with that Terry McLaurin in there. And they could run the ball. I mean, and he's had a modicum of success. Now, I would say he dipped here now the last, month or so. I mean, it's not, and I think Dan Quinn's doing a really good job of just trying to, kind of get through these games, let him make his plays where his plays, can be made, especially the secondary part of it. His touchdown pass this past week to Terry McLaurin was ridiculous.
Yep.
I mean,
well, he had two of them, and it was the first one. The first one was incredible. Yeah, it just shows you that coaching is so critical. It's so critical when you talk about these young guys coming out and who they're getting paired with and who their coaches are. And, one of the big things we talked about with Zach Wilson and the Jets. I don't know if Zach was ever going to be good, but they had that tragedy with Greg Knapp before his rookie season. That was supposed to be the veteran offensive coach. It was going to work him along. And all of a sudden, you had all these newbies on that coaching staff. And then they're searching for his quarterback coach in college to try to get this thing going. And they were all, you know, first-time coaches, and it just was miserable for them.
Well, so. Yeah, and it also had to do with the immaturity of the player himself. And then, of course, same thing happened to Sam Darnold here. And yeah, by the way...
Sam got eaten up. There's no two ways about it. But Sam actually had stretches where he looked like a real NFL quarterback, where Zach really never did. You know, but yeah, I mean, it's true, though. That's what happens when you come here. You get eaten up in these situations.
Hey, Al, do you have any DDT? You know, the poinsettias, bugs are back.
Yeah.
No DDT.
You know, anything to spray these plants with?
Not that you would want to be breathing in there.
At this point, does it really matter? I mean, yeah.
The stuff when I leave the building out of the loading dock and they're like pouring bricks into containers and the things that are coming out of that, like, yeah. My lungs are just probably at this point just like, whatever, just bring on the DDT. Whatever you've been sniffing in when you're leaving the loading dock is way worse than that.
I try to hold my breath when I go out that door until I exit. But then even when you get on the sidewalk, they have all that, like, residue.
Yeah, they got the cement residue. They got the big garbage trucks out there. They're emptying those big steel containers of garbage as they're, you know.
And all the workers have big, like, construction masks on because they know. We're just walking through there like, ooh, time to go home. Anyway,
well, we got bugs in here.
Yeah,
now.
We knew that was going to happen. It happens every year.
Yeah, I know.
And they pop up, and then we're going to have to deal with it for the next couple of days. And when we come in on Monday the 23rd, and we're the only ones here, and Al and Eddie and Jerry. Well, Jerry should be here working that day.
Jerry will be here.
Yeah, that's when these things are going to be dead and gross and bugs everywhere because nobody's going to pay attention to them. That's going to be the day. We're going to be bring a fly swatter that day because it's going to be ugly.
All right.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Had a couple Monday night football games last night. Outside of that, not a ton in the sports world. Jerry Recco's here to tell us about what he's got. What's going on, Jerry?
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. And we're brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. What we've got is your Vikings steamrolling their way to a possible 15-2 season. How about that? Last night took on the Bears and did what we kind of thought they would do.
There's the snap, the fake handoff, dropping back Darnold. Catches right arm, goes back in the end zone, caught, touchdown. A two-handed helmet-high grab by Justin Jefferson. And a touchdown pass is 7 yards by Sam Darnold. And the Vikings have gone up 9-0, 5 minutes to play in the first.
I'm not a uniform person. This drove me nuts.
Did it?
Oh. I thought I was watching the Colts.
I had seen them before. I wasn't that way. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network or so last night, Justin Jefferson made the heart sign. Yep. And said right into the camera, you know, that was for you. I love you, Randy. So that was a cool little thing. And also Chris Carter and Jake Reed, who are the two other wide receivers on that world-famous 1998 team that was 15-1 and then lost at home in the championship game. They came out holding his jersey for the coin toss. So I was glad to see that. It was a cool night there. And they beat the Bears.
Yep, 30-12. So here is Jefferson talking about honoring Moss.
I definitely wanted to, you know, give a tribute to him on one of my touchdowns. You know, it was just great to have it done in the first quarter, in the first one. Definitely got to show that love to him. You know, grateful for what he has done for this game. And
And then just in terms of where they're at, 12-2 now with this win over Chicago. Kevin O'Connell on the game, not great, but a win is a win is a win.
To look up and win this football game 30-12, you know, it kind of felt grimy at times tonight just with their ability to, you know, make some plays defensively and then with our penalties and things like that. So there's a lot to clean up, which as a coach that's of a 12-2 football team, you love that.
Yeah, 12-2, not too shabby. The Bears now 4-10 with the loss. The other game last night, which obviously Giant fans were interested in terms of draft order, was the Falcons and the Raiders. The Falcons did win 15-9, but you did have an opportunity for Oakland, Vegas, to win late.
Ritter to throw. Second down. Steps up. Uncorks it. Towards the end zone. It is deflected. Diving for it. A body, a scrum, and it's intercepted. It is picked off in the end zone, and Atlanta survives a major scare.
And that was Kevin Kugler, Westwood 1. 15-9 was the final score as the Falcons go to 7-7. The Raiders fall to 2-12, remain tied for the worst record with the Giants. First things first, here was Kirk Cousins. He has not had a good stretch, as they say. He says, I know he won, but he does acknowledge the way he has played is not what it needs to be.
I think I do need to play better. I don't think that's a mystery. I think the last few weeks I would say, you know, I need to play better. And so, you know, that's Raheem says it, but it's stating the obvious.
And that's Raheem.
You like that?
Like that.
Like that.
He was 11 of 17 for 112 yards and a touchdown pass to Drake London. Bijan Robinson did run for
one. They're a weird team. They're a strange, strange team.
You know what they are? They're everything that the NFL is these days. They're not really good. They're not really bad. They're just 7-7. Some days they look good. Some days they look like crap, and they just don't go anywhere.
Can you think of another year where the top six teams were so incredibly, so much further along than the rest of the league?
I'm sure there has been. I mean, but yeah, it's the haves and the have-nots. Now, the Lions, because I think the Lions have 22 guys on injured reserve.
David Montgomery now looks like he's out for the season.
They have lost so many players that they're good right now, and I think their offense will remain good, but their defense is completely decimated with injuries. So, you know, you got to believe that the Vikings have a real, really good shot here at getting at worst the number two seed and winning the NFC North.
Yeah, that's what I'd really love to see. Obviously, the Eagles are going to be an issue there and getting that one seed. But I,
could you imagine the Lions with the one seed with Sam? Like, who would have had that? I know you were on Sam Darnold playing well.
Yeah.
Would you have ever thought this, though?
One seed? No. 12-2? Absolutely not. No, I mean, I can't say that I would. I mean, I thought Sam would have a good year and he would make himself some money before they went to J.J. McCarthy. This is insane. And I always said that if this team was ever going to go to the Super Bowl, that they would need home field advantage. I don't feel that way about this team as much as I felt in years of the past because they've gone on the road and they've won. But still, I would love that. And I said when people have asked, are you going to go out for a game? Like I see other Vikings fans or people ask, are you going to go to a game this year? I said the next time I go there is if they host an NFC Championship game.
They could this year.
To go to that, to exercise the demons of all those other ones. Because it's like I've been kicked in the face. They lost another one, kicked me in the face again, fine. But if I were ever there to watch that, it would feel like, okay, that was for 98, that was for 2000, that was for when the Eagles, Nick Foles beat them in 2018, like all of those years. So we'll see, maybe it happens. I mean, I'm just cautiously optimistic.
I was going to say, sitting here right now, right here at this moment, and you look at the playoffs and you look who's in the playoffs, if the playoffs started today, if there's one team you wouldn't want to play in the NFC in the playoffs right now, and I have that one team in my mind. If there's one team in the NFC playoffs, so you got the Lions, Eagles, Bucks, Rams, Vikings, Packers, and Commanders are the seven teams right now in the NFC playoffs. If it started today,
who's I'll the give one you the team? Three teams that I that
but
I worry about.
But who's the one team that you don't want to play?
Well, there's three I don't want to play.
Well, I mean, like to me, the one I'll answer my own question.
The Rams. And the Vikings, one of their two losses to the Rams.
I'm telling you, because their offensive line got healthy. They run the ball effectively. And then if, you know, Matthew Stafford and these wide receivers, all of a sudden, you know, they could throw 30 points on you. But they also can win a game, you know, 17-14.
Yeah, the Packers, the Rams, and the Eagles are the three teams I'd be more nervous about than any other in the NFC.
Like, the Rams have come out of nowhere.
Well, I mean,
nobody thought the Rams were going to be the team.
They're not the team. They're 8-6, but they're
They've gotten a lot better over the last 6 weeks. You never know which team is going to catch fire, and when they get into the playoffs, they're going to be healthy, and they are going to be. And that team with that coach and that quarterback and those wide receivers, you know, they have experience. They have an experienced offensive line as well.
Yeah.
Week 16 begins Thursday, Broncos and Chargers in L.A. The Giants play the Falcons Sunday, so we just heard from Atlanta. Here's Brian Daboll. What is up with the quarterback position?
He's in the protocol.
So this is talking about DeVito first.
He's in the protocol, so we'll see where he's at. Again, it's only a day away from where Drew was, so we'll see how Drew is. And, we could potentially do that, but we'll see where these guys here are at each day and Wednesday, hopefully, they'll be ready to go.
Oh, maybe no more.
With cheese.
Time now for Roll Your Eyes and Vomit. G, Jets-Rams on Sunday. Here's Jeff Ulbrich. Now, our QB is really ready to play.
I think there's some absolute truth to the fact that, you know, he struggled with injury for a good part of the season. And, And as he's starting to get healthier, you're starting to see Aaron Rodgers, the real Aaron Rodgers.
Wow. Better late than never.
Yeah, it's exciting.
four and 10.
They're not going to be down, in the nice warm weather going against, terrible
Dude,
teams.
Dude, Sunday's going to be brutal.
It's going to be, is it?
27 for a high, I think 14 for a low.
Oh, my, yeah.
But then again, he played in Green Bay.
I know.
But he's old as dirt now.
Well, I just think, playing in warm weather and staying down there and practicing all week, he's obviously going to feel better. But Sunday's going to be that cold?
Yeah, Sunday's supposed to be frigid, as they say, yes. And then it warms up again next week, so not too bad. Cavaliers buried the Nets 130-101. Kenny Atkinson wins in his return. The Cavs 23-4. This was no game. They led 37-17 after one, and that kind of be that. Thunder and the Bucks, Vegas Cup tonight. The final. I know you mentioned this yesterday, the Travis Hunter thing.
Yes.
So I have some of the audio here as he shot back at critics that were critical of his fiance and his relationship with his fiance. Number one, the first message.
You ain't never had no girl. So why are y'all talking about me? Find something else to talk about.
And then he goes on to basically say,
had no girl.
Leave us out your mouth, as they say.
You talk about my girl. Go talk about your girl. Go find a girl. Go find a life. Stop worrying about what I got going on.
And he says, we're fine. Great. Let us be.
I know what I got. I know my girl. My girl been with me for 5 years. Y'all are just not starting to talk about me and just not starting to be with me. Like, come on, man. Y'all go do something else with y'all life.
And then lastly, what is wrong with you?
Clickbait pages, y'all better stop. I'm telling y'all. Y'all, something bad gonna happen to y'all. Y'all keep doing that. Y'all better stop that.
Good for him, man.
I ain't playing. Y'all better stop.
Yeah. You know what I would say is you are one of 10 million athletes who have had girlfriends that have been in the spotlight. This has happened one time.
Yeah, you know what?
So there's some evidence there that she's put out there that looks bad.
And there was a ton of stuff yesterday. I mean, like you were talking about, but there was a ton of stuff out there just absolutely ripping her.
Well, yeah, because it looks bad on the surface. So, I mean,
She responded, which I did record. I haven't cut it up yet because I feel icky playing it, but I will next hour. I do.
Whatever. I mean, listen, the reason I brought it up is because we have a largely male audience who has at times in their life dealt with a difficult woman.
Hmm.
And it's funny to watch when someone else is dealing with it and you're not dealing with it. So more to relate, not to slam these young folks or get in their business. It's just more of hey, look, even when you win the Heisman, there's someone busting your balls. I mean, that's really what it is. That goodwill that you built up by winning the Heisman is gone the next day when she's not getting the attention and you're taking pictures with somebody else.
Well, maybe she hates football. Never know.
She won't when he signs that first contract.
That is very true. That'll be a big one. Rangers in Nashville tonight. The Devils in St. Louis. The Islanders visit Carolina. St. John's home for DePaul. And Seton Hall visits Villanova.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I got to be honest, Doug Gottlieb's one of those guys I haven't been able to quite figure out over the years, and I've been around him, and I've talked to him, and I've worked on the same network as him. He was on CBS Sports Radio when I was there, and when I talk to him, he's really nice and really into radio, and he's been complimentary to the shows I've done, but then there's other times where he comes across as like a real prick, and it's tough to handle. And even so much so where he'd call up program directors and talk about other shows that were going on and do things like, hey, I don't know why these guys are talking about that, and rat people out and strange things. But then anytime I was around him, I was like, this guy's not a bad guy. But I feel like many people out there have in the business, if you do a Rorschach test with Doug Gottlieb, people will go, I don't think I like that guy.
I would say that I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So the reason I bring this up
is
because yesterday we have two media members, one being Doug Gottlieb and the other being the almighty Adam Schefter, going at it on X. So Adam Schefter reported that Michael Vick, yes, that Michael Vick, is in discussions with Sacramento State to be their head coach.
This is amazing, by the way. What do I have on my screen right now?
Well, Sacramento State met with Michael Vick about the coaching job. Yeah.
I You didn't see that, did you?
No, I did not. It was something I saw yesterday and was on the show sheet. And
yeah, but I didn't know if it was on the show sheet because sometimes I don't want to check the show sheet
sometimes.
Because I just like to be able to, react in real time
to
some
of
the things that, Al sees a little bit differently than I do. But I cannot believe right now that you are going down this road via Doug Gottlieb as I am reading this story about Michael Vick and the potential job offer at Sacramento State and also at Norfolk State.
Norfolk.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. I worked on that for a good day and a half. Norfolk.
Okay, there you go. So, Gag, continue your story. Right. Sorry about that.
No sorries.
That was unbelievable. That was just like one of those moments where like we're in Zapatico.
Yeah, right. It's like looking up into the sky and seeing an orb just floating there and going, wow. Anyway. So Doug Gottlieb goes... So the report is that Schefter puts out that Sacramento State has over $50 million in nil money for Michael Vick or whatever head coach that goes there to work with.
And they're building a new stadium.
So Gottlieb responds to Adam Schefter.
Okay.
And Gottlieb's got a following. And remember that Doug Gottlieb also now works for Fox Sports Radio and is a college basketball coach.
At Green Bay, Wisconsin.
At Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Horizon League.
Yes.
So Gottlieb responds to Schefter after putting out the $50 million in nil money. Yeezus, Schefty. Edit what agents tell you. 0% zero chance Sacramento State has $50 million in nil. And then Schefter deciding to not let that go, which I really appreciate because I think people don't like Doug Gottlieb. And he felt like he could get away with it.
Okay.
So he goes... Yeezus, Doug. And they're spelling it Yeezus, like J-E-E-Z-U-S. That's why I'm pronouncing it that way.
Okay.
A 7-game losing streak in last place in the Horizon League. Less time on social media and more time in the gym.
Woo!
And then posted a picture of the standings. Oofa.
Oh, that's a slapdown, if you ask me.
Yeah, slapdown of epic proportions. No doubt about it. And... Gottlieb responded to that, like, we're working hard and it's going to take a while and yada, yada, yada.
And by the way, this whole story about Michael Vick and this Sacramento State, when you read about it, you do see that they are Sacramento State is going up into the FBS, according to this article.
Correct. And there's talk of them joining the new PAC.
Your okay?
PAC, whatever it's going to be.
Yeah.
They're pushing
like the Pac-12 or the Pac-10.
Right.
So, okay.
There's talk of them pushing to get into that when it reforms.
And which is what they're trying to do here with all this money. They obviously have some.
Right, so they may indeed have the money. So yeah. Schefter's right.
Are they getting it from Gavin Newsom or where are they getting it from?
What? Gavin Newsom? That's where they're getting the money from?
Newsom. Yeah, he sucks. Yeah, I don't know. I think it sounds like they must have, obviously, some pretty big donors to that school.
Yeah. Who do you think the most famous Sacramento State alumni is that could be donating? Maybe some person who has some major invention? Let's see, alumni.
I mean, could it be some tech titan out there in Northern California?
Yeah. Nobody that's jumping off the page right now. Oh, Tom Hanks. How about that? That's the guy.
Yeah,
funded by Tom Hanks.
Yeah, I don't see Tom Hanks putting any money into the football program. No, I'm sorry about that. Maybe the theater program, but not the football program.
Lester Holt of NBC News.
There you go.
He's got to be making some money, right? You'd think. Caden Cross, porn star. She also went to Sacramento State. So... Antoinette Butterscotch Clinton, a finalist on America's Got Talent 2024.
I'll tell you, that'd be interesting for Michael Vick to see if he gets one of these jobs.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Remember Bobby McFerrin? Don't Worry, Be Happy?
Yes.
One-hit wonder?
Okay, he's a...
Sacramento State guy. I don't think he's donating if he's still alive.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Are they the Hornets, Boomer?
You're asking me?
Well, I thought you had maybe still had the page open, or unless you're Googling the porn star.
They are the Hornets. They are the Hornets. Yes. No, I'm not Googling the porn star. Yes, they are the Hornets, Eddie. Very good job by you. They were 3-9, and they were 11th in the Big Sky this past year. And their former head coach took an assistant head coaching job at Stanford, so he left. So they are trying to ramp it up, much like North Carolina and Colorado did with the name hiring of a head coach. And Michael's never, I don't necessarily know that he's ever coached before.
Reese Hoskins, Sacramento State.
Okay. He's still on that.
DeAndre Carter, Sacramento State. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, wow. Now I got to stop because I found the ultimate. My least favorite football player in the history of all football players. And I sat here and I talked to Tiki Barber about it because it was a part of that 2000 NFC Championship game. Man's name was Waswa Serwanga.
Waswa Serwanga.
And he was a miserable corner. And it was really funny.
And he got torched that day.
Absolutely torched.
Yes.
To the point where I'd never seen anybody play worse at that position in person in my life.
I called that game for
a while. Yeah, I know, which is hilarious because Tiki, I was at the game as a fan.
Yep.
You were in the booth calling the game, and Tiki was on the field playing. So so all three of us here at WFAN
so
have
was
a connection.
Serwanga.
Waswa Serwanga.
Yes.
And Cato Serwanga. So it's funny. So they're twins. And like I bring this up to Tiki, one of these Christmas shows that we worked together. We did one show together. And he's like, yeah, they're Serwangas. They were the other set of twins that when me and Rondé were playing, you know, they were the Serwangas. Yeah. So I knew him. And he's like, boy, did he stink in that game. He knew. He knew.